In preparation for this morning, I was studying and I went back and forth because I felt like God was drawing me to a certain topic. And even a couple days ago, I was like, God, are you sure? And he says, yes. And I think it's because we got a really good example of what humility looks like. That when things happen, you have to decide who is actually in control. Are you going to turn to God and let him be in control? And that is good news for us, because when God is in control, then what God wants to happen will happen. And that is what we want. So today, we won't spend a very long time, but I want to look at the most humble man in the world. And it is not me. No offense, I don't think it's anyone in this room. But humility, get this, is a major key in the kingdom of God. And it brings about the things that you desire most. Humility brought the saving of a nation, the restoration of a family coming back together, and the meeting with God face to face. Humility builds the place where God is welcomed into your life. Humility is the key, get this, to what you are looking for today. And it is the hardest key to pick up, but it opens the most doors in your life. I want to look at the man Moses this morning. Because in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, writing about himself, he says that Moses was the most humble man in the world. And you know that had to be the Spirit of God, because one, God didn't argue. And two, the people around him didn't argue. And I don't know about you, but if someone said that to me, that they were the most humble person in the world, I would probably disagree. But we want to look at Moses this morning. We'll be in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And instead of going through the whole of my message, we're going to just go through that scripture and we're going to highlight things as we read through it. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. And as you're turning there, we're going to turn to the Lord in prayer one more time. Lord, we pray that you would do in 5 minutes what I could not do in 50 minutes or 5 hours. We pray that your Spirit is so just permeated into this place, across this entire room, across this entire property, that you would work in our hearts and our minds, in our lives, without me doing or saying anything, God, because your Spirit is moving. And I pray that your Spirit would be upon every word spoken this morning, that it would be anointed by the power of God in the demonstration of the power of God, and that we would open our eyes and ears to behold and understand all that you have for us this morning. And we thank you for it. And church, with that, you're going to beat the Baptists to lunch today. So that's good news. But as we jump in, let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak. He can do a lot more than I or anyone else can. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. It starts off like this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And we're going to stop there and just look at that verse. Moses was on his way. He was doing one thing when God called him to do another thing. So first off, we have to realize that just because we're doing something, even if it has been in the will of God, doesn't mean God won't change our course. And we can't be too stubborn to not let him do that. Moses had been stripped of everything. Kind of like we were stripped of a lot this morning and over the weekend. And when you're stripped of things, it's the time when God comes in and says, now you're ready. Church, we have to be stripped sometimes of what we allow to hold us back from what God wants. You see, Moses did not start off humble. He was not born humble. By the time that he writes, he was the most humble person. He's over the age of 80. He might be closer to 100. We don't know exactly when he wrote it. But he wrote it after all the miracles of God happened in his life. Afterwards. So we don't start off humble, but we live in a process of being humbled. And that's the first point today, is the process. We're in a process of humility for God to get us to the place where we're ready to do what God wants. And I want to point out that if you know the story of Moses, when he was a younger man, probably around the age of 40 or so, he tried to accomplish what would be the will of God on his own. And he failed miserably. Has anyone ever failed miserably? I'll raise my hand on that. Well, then you're right along with Moses. And I'll just, this doesn't have to do with my message, but later on in Moses' life, he met with God face to face. So even if you have failed greatly, that's not the end of your story. That was more so towards the beginning of Moses' story. So he tried to accomplish things on his own, and he was not able to. But God is attracted to humility. Let's say that again. God is attracted to humility. And at this time, Moses, all he had left, basically, was that he was a shepherd for his father-in-law. He was a shepherd for his father-in-law. That was his business. When he had been in the family of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But what God had planned was that he learned those things in the royal house of how to talk to all those people, which was great. But you can only get so far on what you learn on your own. So God brought him to a desert where he was humbled. And get this, he was humbled for 40 years roughly. I hope it does not take us that long. But he was humbled and he was left basically with nothing. And it's at this point, he turns and sees a bush that is burning and that is not being burnt up. And you might say, well, anyone would turn to see that. And I would agree. But in life, we have these moments where God is trying to get our attention and we don't always turn to him. We have to turn to what God is doing. And Moses had come to a valley that was in front of the mountain of God. So he did not yet reach the mountain of God even. And God met him where he was at, because God meets us right there. And he often changes our plans. And in this valley, again, is a bush. And it's burning. And scholars have a couple of ideas why. Like, why did God show himself this way? One is that the fire represented judgment, because God was about to judge Egypt. And he was about to bring the people of Israel out. And I would agree with that, because that happened. But another thought is that God picked a bush, an insignificant vessel, to hold the fire of God. And what a picture that is to us of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The insignificant vessel that hosts the very presence of God. God was showing him that it didn't matter who he was. It matters who the God who has chosen him is. And that is in our life as well. God wants to burn in us. Will you host him? It's at this point that Moses took off his shoes. And the taking off of shoes is a sign of humility. You see, God had to show Moses that the place that God chose to dwell in that moment wasn't because the place was holy. It was because the God who is holy decided to inhabit it. And as a picture for us, that we are to be holy as God is holy. Holy as God is holy. And we see that in Leviticus 11:44 and 1 Peter 1:16. Hebrews 10:10, all these scriptures I was going to read, but you can take them down. But we have to be holy as God is holy. But you know what it takes to be holy? It takes enough humility to admit that we're not. And I know that sounds simple, but what it really means when you get into detail is that you have to admit that the sin that we live in is not holy. What we do on a normal basis is probably not holy. But God is calling us to be holy. And that's why it says in Colossians 1:21 and 22, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death," that's talking about Jesus, "to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Church, we've got to, in a sense, take off our sandals and admit that we are not holy. God is showing the difference that you have to not just rush into his presence in a way that doesn't say that he's holy. As his children, we get to come boldly before him. But we have to come being prepared to submit in humility to the God who created everything, who is holy and perfect. We have to prepare to do that. And God is preparing us. There is preparation. Then we move on to the second thought, which is promise. What is God preparing you for? He's preparing you for the things that he has promised you. And we're not just talking about heaven. We're talking about in this life. Because God had promised all of Israel a promised land. He's promised us many different things. In this text, God says to Moses, "I am with you." And he says, "I'm not just with you. I've been with Abraham. I've been with Isaac. I've been with Jacob. The promise that I've set then is still enacted in your life. I have been with them, and I will continue to be with you." That's what God is doing. He's showing the promise. And the promise, we hear it all, said a lot, that there is a good land filled with milk and honey. What does that even mean? Most of us like milk and honey. Well, milk is the provision that you need. It came from livestock of different types that you would get milk from. But it's not just provision. It's the good part of provision. So these are livestock that are operating how they should be. God is saying, "I'm bringing you to a place of provision." And he says, "Honey." Well, honey tastes good and we like sugar. Amen? But get this. In that day, they didn't work for honey. Honey came about naturally because God ordained bees to make it. So he's saying, "I provided for you in the way that you should be provided for, and I'm giving you blessing that you did not work for that's going to be sweet in your mouth." He promised a land of milk and honey to them. And he's promised many different things to us. And you need to read the scripture to understand all of those. But what we also have to understand is they didn't just get this one day. They had to actually fight for it. That's why in our text, it goes through the names of different people groups. God was saying, "I'm giving all of this to you, but you have to also take it. You have to fight for it." So God has been preparing Moses to take the promise. And he's preparing you, whatever you have been going through, whatever you're about to go through. He's preparing you for the promises that he has. He's prepared our church to take the promises, the words, the prophetic things that have happened over this building and over this group of people. He's preparing us to walk into all of them. Can you receive that? He's preparing your family to take the promises that he's placed on your family in your life. God wants you to take those. This is not a prosperity gospel. You have to sometimes fight through them, and it is only God that can enable you to do so, to take them. But you know what it takes to fight those with God? Humility to let him do it. He had been humbling Moses because Moses could not do it on his own. There is preparation and there is promise. And then there is a push where God says, I think it's in verse 10. It says, come, because I am sending you out. And we have to respond. We not only have to turn to God and let him fill us with his spirit. We then have to respond and say, yes, you are sending and I am going. Moses said towards the beginning of this passage, here I am. Here I am. And this wasn't an attendance chart for the Lord to have. Moses is here. God knew and Moses knew that Moses was there. So what is Moses saying? He's saying, I'm here to be used. Here I am. You see, God had called Moses out of that bush saying, Moses, Moses. And he says his name twice. He's trying to get Moses' attention. And God does that with us. He's trying to get our attention because he wants to use us. If we will turn to him, be filled with his spirit, and be sent out. Will you do that this morning? The message that God was saying to Moses, he says Moses' name twice because the message is urgent. You carry the message of God that is urgent to a people around you, to your family, to your friends, to our valley. The message is urgent, and it's time to be filled and go out. But we have to be humble to do that. If you didn't know, that's one of the prayers I pray most over my life and over our church. Because I look at people like Moses, and I see a man that has been completely humbled. And I see what God can do with a life that has been humbled. And church, that convicts me. It not just inspires me, but that convicts me. Am I humble enough to be used by God like he wants to use me? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we humble enough to be used? Moses said basically two things in this passage. He said, here I am, which is use me. And then he said later, after finding out what God wanted to do, who am I? You see, the man who had tried to accomplish things on his own before, who thought he was ready, who thought he could do it and start things, is now in a place that is saying, God, even though you want to do it, I can't do this. Who am I that you would choose me? And that's the thought we need to live in, church. Who am I that you would tell me to go and preach to those people over there? Who am I that you would tell me to go on this missions trip? Who am I that you would allow me to come to the altar and just worship you? Who am I? I am no one. God answers Moses' question of who am I? He answers that towards the end of this scripture, with the thought of, I am who I am. You see, when you get your eyes focused on yourself, you're going to be in this place where, yeah, you can't do it. But it's from a place of humility. You look up and say, God can do it. He is the I am. And that wasn't just referring to another name for God. They already knew one of the names for God. And God himself gave him another name. I am who I am. I am the one who was with your ancestors. I am the one who is with you now. And I am the one who will be continually with you. So when you go to the people and they ask, who is this God that we've been serving and he has done nothing so far? You tell them, I am the God who is with you continually. And it is time to move into what I've called you to do, to who I have called you to do, to be. And will you take that? I'm calling you. I am who I am. Humility in this context is in our mind saying, I am in a place that is low enough to recognize that I can't do things on my own and accomplish the will of God for my life. We need to simmer in that for a moment. This is not a weak point of view. I want to point out, Moses was doing things. He had a job. He had a wife. He was part of a family. But that was not all that God called him to. It's not all that God has called you to. He's called you to burn with the Spirit of God. He's called you to go to a people, go to our valley, and see them set free. God might not call you to part the Red Sea, but he has called you to go to a people and see them set free. And he's called you to have things in your life that are before you like a Red Sea, parted through his power, that you can walk through them and see the things of God accomplished in your life. Do you want that this morning? Humility is a realistic view of ourselves when we see God. And it is the key to the answers that you have been looking for. What you're needing is greater humility to see the fulfillment of God in your life and in everything that you've been praying for. Humility is the key. Amen? Will you stand across this place? The worship team comes. Church, the key to freedom that you've been struggling with is found in humility. The key to restoration of your family is found in humility. The key to a move of God in this valley and nation is found through humility. The key to a closer relationship with God, face to face, is found in humility. Humility is the answer on our part for what God wants to do on his part. It is saying, yes, here I am. Use and send me. And if that's your desire this morning, you can spend as long as you want here pressing into God. But if that is your desire, if God is moving on your heart that you need more humility in your life to see what God wants to do, that you want the Spirit of God to burn in you, that you realize at this moment that maybe you have been chosen for more than you have been doing. Maybe you've been in the back desert and God is showing you that he has chosen you. He could have burned upon a mountain that he set ablaze. He would do that later. But he chose a small, insignificant vessel like me and you because he wants to use you in a way that you have not even stepped into yet. And it's my belief that the greater level of humility you can come to, the greater you will be used by God because you're humble enough to do so. And you might not be rich and famous, but God will use you to part someone's Red Sea and to save someone from the bondage that they have been in for years. That might be you. That might be your family. But God wants to move today. The answer for you, your family, our valley, and our nation is the same answer that God gave to Moses. Get humble. and I will move. Get humble and I will move. If God is moving on your heart right now, I'm going to ask you to come to the front and be humble. Be humble that God will move. Be humble that God will move. We cannot be humble enough. Be humble that God will move. I'm going to press in into worship a little bit before we leave. And if you need any other prayers this morning, if you need salvation this morning, if you need to be healed this morning, whatever it is, have enough humility to come and get prayer. Because God will move. He's attracted to humility. Let's go into worship.